Incredible Go!
This is Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cotter.
Fire the cannon!
Brought to you by Frontier Communications. Fios keeps you in the game. Visit FrontierFlorida.com to join the team.
Winston looking left. Goes a deep route toward Mike Evans. He hangs on. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans goes up and takes it away from two defenders. What a great throw by Winston.
Now your host, Bucs insider Casey Phillips and head coach Dirk Cotter.
Happy Friday afternoon, Tampa Bay. I hope everyone is having a great start to their weekend. Thanks for spending your Friday afternoon here with us. And this is the show where we want to hear from you, where Coach Cutter takes nothing but your questions here. There's a ton of ways to send them in. So let's run through those on Twitter, hashtag Bucs Radio, on the Bucs app under the feature section. And of course, you can always call in and talk to him directly yourself. Here are your numbers. Hillsborough County, 813-990-4620, Pinellas 727-461-4620, and toll free 888-546-4620. Coach, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, Casey, how are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thanks for being with us as always. All right, want to get off to a start here. Looking back at that Buffalo game, we had a question here from John who says, why does that OJ play keep working so well, and are you starting to get a little worried teams might catch on?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's one of those plays that you can't run it every week. I mean, teams work on it, and we've had other times we've ran it, and it hasn't worked at all. So, you know, that's just one of those ones that teams definitely do work on.
All right, and our next question here comes from Sarah. She says, you've worked with and helped a lot of really good tight ends. Who does OJ remind you of, and what type of career could he have?
Well, I think he could have a great career, and, you know, just of the guys that I've coached, he reminds me of Mercedes Lewis, who's, I think, in his 10th or 11th year playing for the Jaguars. And, you know, and I say that in a complimentary way, in that he can block, he can catch, he can run. And even though I don't know how people value Mercedes Lewis, but as a coach, I value Mercedes Lewis a lot. So I think the sky's the limit for OJ.
All right, Aaron wants to know on Twitter, are we going to see T.J. Ward play a full game at some point this season?
Well, I'm not sure about that. That'll depend on how things go. You know, you always are trying to get your best guys on the field, and you know, if TJ's play deserves that, then I'm sure we'll try to get it done.
And Ryan says, what are the pros and cons of having Jameis not throw as much during the week? And do you think this could be a long-term move even after his shoulder is healed if it produces results?
No, it won't be a long-term move. You know, as soon as Jameis is ready to go back, I mean, you know, right now it's just a necessity that Jameis does that until his shoulder gets back to where he feels like he can throw every day. I think the cons outweigh the pros, other than the fact that if we didn't do it this way, if Jameis didn't do it this way, he may not be able to play at all. One of the few benefits to doing it this way is, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, currently our number two quarterback, gets reps with the ones on Wednesday and Thursday for the last 2 weeks anyway. And then Ryan Griffin, technically our third quarterback, even though he's not really, he's in a different place right now, coming off IR designated for return. He's been able to get some work with our scout team going against our defense. So, you know, that's about the only positive that comes from it, other than the fact that Jameis, you know, is going to be able to go full speed on Sunday.
All right. And then Doug wanted to know, tell us what factored into the decision to move Hargraves to the slot last weekend.
Well, he just hadn't been playing like we thought he could. And we thought if we reduced his role a little bit, and, you know, usually the nickel only plays about 60% of the snaps. So if we reduced his role a little bit and, you know, let him watch a little bit more and put Robert McClain outside, that maybe that would help, you know, kind of get him back on track. He did a good job Vernon did a good job. He accepted it very well, worked hard in practice, and he played much better last week in the slot.
And then the follow-up Doug had to that was, how do potential injuries this week affect how you might use Hargraves?
Well, you're going to have to come to the game on Sunday to find that one out.
All right, and then our next question is from Jackie, and she says, kind of along the same lines, how important is Brent Grimes to what you can do as a defense, and what are the potential ways, being if you're without him, that you could try and make up for it?
Well, of course, Brent Grimes is extremely important to our defense. He's a really good cover corner, and anytime you take one of your top guys out, it's going to hurt. But that's the NFL. You know, that's the NFL. You got 53 guys, and guys are going to get banged up, and it gives the next man behind them the opportunity. So, you know, Ryan Smith got a little bit of an opportunity earlier in the year against Minnesota, and I know he's hungry and anxious for the next time his opportunity comes up. But, you know, injuries are the worst part of the game, and every team is going through them. We're no different. And it's just one of those things. You have to make the best of it and move forward. That's all you can do.
We're talking to head coach Dirk Koetter here, and we're still looking for your questions throughout this entire show. You can send them in on Twitter with that hashtag BucksRadio or on the Bucks app under the feature section, or you can give us a call as well. All right, Paul's question is, how did you feel Quan did in his return?
Yeah, I think Quan is a heck of a player, but I don't think Buffalo was his best game. I've seen Quan play a lot better. I think that's pretty common for guys after being out that long, especially with a hamstring, whether it's just getting back in the groove, whether it's being a little rusty, whether it's they're a little tentative. I just think it takes a little bit of time. And you know, I know Quan is gonna play better as time goes on because he's a heck of a player.
And Paul had asked in his follow-up of, what do you expect to be a little bit different from him this week? Do you think 1 week is enough to make a pretty big difference in knocking the rust off?
Yes, I do. I think 1 week is absolutely enough time. You know, as long as, you know, every guys that are coming back off injuries, they all have different levels of recovery. It's not like anybody really gets quite back to 100%. So, you know, based on the specific players' degree of recovery from an injury, then yes, I do think there'll be a significant jump.
Mac wants to know, there's been a lot of talk about a 3-4 defense. Why or how does that affect McCoy and the 3 technique and how it affects everybody else on that line?
Well, when you play a 3-4 defense, there is no 3 technique. That kind of eliminates the 3 technique. Now you're playing with a nose tackle over the center and, you know, two defensive ends, either head up on the tackle, or a lot of teams now play their defensive ends inside eye on the tackles when they're playing a 3-4, and then you play two inside backers and two outside backers. So, yeah, I mean, most people that, you know, that clamor for the 3-4 defense don't really understand what that means. And, you know, when you do have one of the top 3 techniques in the league, year in, year out, is voted by the players, you know, that would be a significant change for Gerald.
And then Mac also had asked about, are there any thoughts on trading for a linebacker or a defensive end? And I know that football is not always as conducive to the trade deadline as some other sports.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that's more of a Jason question. And, you know, I wouldn't think we'd be, I don't know why anyone would think we would be in the market for a linebacker. You know, with Quan and Levante missing time, we're really, really pleased with our linebacker depth. Unfortunately, we did lose Noah Spence. You know, he's going to have another shoulder surgery and miss the rest of the year. But yeah, I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, everyone, when you're talking about trade, it takes two teams. You have to have somebody to trade with, and then, you know, what are you willing to give up? And usually it's not, you know, it's not cheap.
That's true. All right. Robert says, it's really cool that you take questions from the fans, but I'd also like to know, is there a question that you would like to be asked but haven't been?
Oh, that is an interesting question right there. If I think of one, I'll tell Casey and have her ask me next time.
Okay, we get a week to think about this. I like it. All right, we have a caller here. We have Matt from Land O'Lakes, has a question about some adverse situations. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Casey. Hey, Coach. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you guys are doing well.
Hey, Matt.
So my question. Oh, say again.
Go ahead, Matt.
Okay, sorry. So I wanted to say that that logo on that side of the helmet means something to me. It's more than just that. And no matter what adversity you guys and us as fans go through, we're with you thick and thin no matter what to the end, to the day that I die. So with that being said, though, when you go week after week, how do you convince these guys, or what message do you give the team to overcome that adversity, and how do you deliver that and make them buy in? And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, that's another good question, Matt. And that's a tricky situation, because you're not dealing with high school guys here. You're dealing with grown men, guys that have families, guys that have wives and kids, and they're professionals. So, we have team meetings on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights. So I talk to the team in a team meeting set up four times a week, and I do put a lot of thought and a lot of time into what I say to those guys and what the messaging is going to be that week. But, words are words and playing is playing. And, I've never been a huge believer in big pep talks, but I do believe in putting forth a message and then sticking to it all week. But at the end of the day, professional football, these guys are football players, and we have football coaches as well, and we're all paid to do a job, and we have to go out there and do it on Sunday.
All right, we still have tons more time coming up here on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter. Lots of time for you to get all of your questions in. Again, you can send them in on Twitter, hashtag Bucs Radio, on the Bucs app under the feature section, or go ahead and give us a call here as well. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Cutter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. Don't go anywhere. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications, now continues with head coach Dirk Cutter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back in. We are here live with head coach Dirk Cutter, and of course we're taking all of your questions still. Hashtag Bucs Radio on Twitter. You can also submit them in the Bucs app under the feature section, or call in. And speaking of calls, we got a caller right here, Victor, who's in Hudson. Go ahead, Victor. Victor, are you there? Sounds like we're having a little bit of problem with his line here, so we'll go ahead and go on to our Twitter questions here. Chris wants to know, I feel like we've reached a point to unleash all the tricks up the sleeves from here on out. Do you feel that way too offensively?
I didn't quite catch that, Casey. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Chris wanted to know if you feel like you're at a point to unleash all of your tricks up the sleeves from here on out offensively, now that everyone's on the same game plan and all the new weapons have been deployed.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say tricks, because, I don't think you win games in the NFL by tricking anybody. The NFL is an execution league. Everybody's got good players and good schemes, and, you got to line up and execute. And really, occasionally you're going to get a play that a team hasn't worked on, and you catch them off guard, and you get a guy open, like we got OJ open last week. But for the most part, you're going to have to go out there and just like that last touchdown Jameis threw to Mike, that was a beautiful scramble and effort play by Jameis and Mike, and it was a really close play to being out of bounds. I mean, it was a bang-bang right on the sideline play, and more often than not, those are the plays that determine the difference in NFL games.
Yeah, and along those lines, mentioning the OJ play and it almost being like a trick play, we actually had a question from Eric. He wanted to know, what is it about that play that makes it work so well that we as fans might not pick up on when we watch it in the game?
Well, it's a misdirection play. It's a misdirection play, and you're running a bootleg one way, and then a guy's kind of tight end is kind of sneaking back down the back sideline, and the way defenses are trained to stop the bootleg play is they usually turn their linebackers and look for the crossers. They look for the crossing routes, and sometimes they forget about that guy sneaking down the sidelines. There's plenty of other teams in the league that are running that play, and again, sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. We've just been fortunate this year that it's been open a couple times.
Yeah. Justin said, after looking at the fumble that Humphreys had last week, do you think there was anything he was doing wrong technique-wise? Because when I watched it, I saw two hands on the ball and just an unfortunate turnover.
Yep, that is what it was. I mean, he was covering up the ball. Adam was doing what he was supposed to do, and, you know, their guy just got the perfect shot on it. And, you know, Adam's not a guy that fumbles and typically doesn't fumble the ball. That was just it was unfortunate, and, you know, that was one of those things that, you know, we had our chances, and we just didn't make quite enough plays.
Dustin says, how do we stop beating ourselves?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, that's the big question out there. It starts with turnovers. It starts with not turning it over on offense and getting more takeaways on defense. But, you know, if you really look at NFL games, they usually come down to five or six plays that go significantly one way or the other. The problem is you don't know when they're going to come. So, you know, everybody's got to be on their toes at all times. And, you know, you just never know what's coming and when it's coming. And, you know, teams that don't beat themselves, they're going to win more often than not. And, you know, we've just been making too many mistakes in all phases. And as soon as we stop doing that, we're going to be hard to beat.
All right, we've got our next caller lined up, Steven from Tampa. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, Casey Dirk, thanks for taking my call. My question is I'm going to go back to week two. As far as testing the turf in Minnesota, Dirk, is the confidence still as high as in the team right now as far as wanting to go that route? Obviously, that's our goal, but I mean, it seemed real confident with all Hard Knocks and everything else. But with being 2-4 right now, is the team confidence still there? I mean, obviously, I hope it is. I mean, you get knocked down and you got to get back up, but. I mean, what's the feeling in the locker room? And I'll let you talk to them, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, anything that's on Hard Knocks, you got to remember Hard Knocks is a reality TV show, and, you know, the Hard Knocks crew and the producers, their job is to put a product out there that's entertaining to the public. It's only just a tiny slice of what really goes on. Now, again, that's neither here nor there as far as us being 2-4. That's, as I've said before, most of our issues are issues that we have to fix. All of our issues are issues that we have to fix. And, you know, confidence, of course your confidence is not going to be quite as high when you're on a losing streak, but it only takes that one victory to get it back going the other way. And there's thousands of examples of that in all sports. And, we have enough talent. You know, we're gonna get it back on track. It's just a matter of when. And, you know, confidence usually comes from success and guys making plays and guys feeling good about themselves, and then other players feeding off good plays of other players. And that's just the way it's always worked. And you know, the previous caller, you know, we gotta stop beating ourselves. We gotta just make the plays we can make. And then everyone has to start off with everybody doing their job, not trying to do too much, just making the plays they should make.
And Dave sent in a two-part question. His first part is asking about if you or someone else from your staff are the ones that actually make the call on which jerseys we wear.
Yeah, that's an ownership decision. And, you know, I'm not really part of that. I don't even really know how that works, but I believe that's an ownership decision.
All right, and then his second part was, how can we continue to get DeSean Jackson more involved, especially as a deep threat every game?
Well, yeah, it's not that easy. I mean, we can throw deep balls to him every game. You know, unfortunately, unfortunately, last week, Jameis made a beautiful throw on a go route to Deshaun that got called back on a penalty, and really that probably should have been offsetting penalties, even though they had us for holding. That should have probably been defensive pass interference on Minnesota, because Deshaun did a heck of a job hanging on. But, you know, we don't have a lack of weapons or a lack of talent, and I say it all the time. I mean, you could call 20 deep passes to Deshaun in a game, but the coverage dictates, you know, the coverage dictates where Jameis goes with the ball. And, you know, in the last game, the ball got spread around pretty good. And, you know, if people have been wanting OJ to get more involved, you know, so it just so happened that plays where OJ was the first option, they happened to be in the right defense, and Jameis was able to go to OJ. But it doesn't always work that way. And then also, you know, the defense can decide if they want to double cover a certain receiver. For us, that's usually Mike Evans.
All right, we got our next caller lined up, Mike from Tampa. Go ahead, Mike.
How you doing, Coach Cutter? But I just wanted to know, with the problems that we having with injury in the secondary, did you ever consider signing Maxwell that just got released from the Dolphins? I hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, that's something that Jason Light is working on all the time. You know, during the week, you know, Jason is constantly watching tape of other players around the league, watching other teams. At the same time, Jason and his staff are also, you know, watching college players, getting ready for next year's draft. So, you know, as we're in a normal week, the coaching staff, we're primarily focused on game planning, coaching, getting ready for practice, doing the things that we have to do on a weekly basis. You know, the NFL puts out a list every day of players that get let go. You know, all the transactions that happen in the league, you know, we get copied in on that stuff. And Jason and his staff are on top of that. As I mentioned before, you know, all these trades, they all sound good. You know, let's pick up this guy or let's trade for that guy. But if it's a trade, it always involves giving something up. Now, if it's a guy that's on the street, most of the time, if the guy's on the street as a street free agent, there's a reason he's on the street. You know, maybe he wasn't playing well with his previous team, or his previous team gave up on him, or maybe they just had a younger player that's playing good. Again, those are things that you know, the pro personnel side that they're working on during the week.
All right, we've got our next caller, Lee from Newport Richey. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, Coach. I got a two-part question as well, actually. Doug Martin, you know, he's had flashes where he looked good, but not his 2015 production. Do you think that's directly related to him being in game shape since he, you know, he missed those few weeks? And also, Peyton Barber hasn't really gotten any carries. Is that production-based, or is it something we don't really know about?
Yeah, no, Doug is in game shape, so I don't think it's related to his game shape. And, you know, Peyton hasn't gotten any touches just because there's only one ball and there's only so many carries to go around. It's not production based. When Peyton's got his chances, you know, he's done fine. You know, and Peyton is playing a significant role on special teams. You know, fans got to remember if your starting quarterback's not doing well, they want the backup quarterback. If your starting running back's not doing it, you know, they always want something else. Give us more, give us more, give us more, give us more. You know, coaches, I've never been around coaches that aren't trying to put the guys they think are going to do the best out there. And, you know, we have high hopes for Peyton. He's a young player. He's continuing to improve, continuing to learn. Right now, he's got more of a special teams role. That doesn't mean that his role couldn't be increased as we move forward.
All right, we've got our next caller, Andrew from Orlando. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, Coach. Thanks for having me. Just a quick question about getting heat on the ball. I actually had an opportunity to actually go to the Bills game this weekend. It was nice up there, but it just seemed like everything was very vanilla with the depth of our linebacking corps. Maybe we get some more pressure using them. I just was curious about that. It just seemed like he had all kinds of time to do whatever he wanted back there.
Yeah, Casey, I didn't really get all that, Casey. That cut out on me.
So yeah, getting a little bit more pressure on the quarterback, and if you guys have considered bringing some linebackers in.
Bringing some linebackers in?
To bring pressure.
You mean blitzing? Is that what you're
yes,
talking about?
Yes, I think that's what he was asking.
Yeah, of course. Of course, if you can't get home with a four-man rush, then that's the next answer. Is you either have to bring pressure with your linebackers or your safeties, and we do that from time to time. Tyrod Taylor is a difficult quarterback to sack, and even when we had chances to get him in the game last week, he slipped away. He slipped away from us. That's one of his best traits. But definitely, anytime a quarterback has over 3.5-4 seconds to throw the ball, it's not going to be good for the coverage. We've said many times one of the things that we are not doing well enough right now is our rush and our coverage aren't working good enough in conjunction. And when we were rolling on defense last year, our coverage and our rush were very much in sync, and we're not there yet. And we know that. We understand it. We're working on it.
All right, we had a question from someone named Coach Steve. I feel like this might be someone you know. I'm not sure, but he says, Coach, are the plays you ran as a high school coach at Highland still embedded somewhere in the foundation of your playbook today?
Yeah, maybe some of them. I mean, there's only so many plays out there, and, there's not a lot of original plays, although the spread offense has slowly made its way into pro football as well. But, conceptually, curl flat and, double in cuts, double out cuts, that sort of thing. Those plays have been around forever, and, people dress them up different ways with shifts in motions and, how you're protecting your quarterback, that sort of thing. But, we have plays in our offense that come from everywhere, plays that our coaching staff has used at different points in their career, and then we steal plays from other teams in the NFL. It's a copycat league. We steal from teams, they steal from us. And, as you're seeing what works against a certain team, you have a tendency to lean towards some of those plays. But, for the most part, we have a system that we run. We have a big encyclopedia of plays, and then we try to select the ones each week that we think have the best chance against that particular defense.
All right, we're at the midway point here on Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, which means there's still plenty of time for you to get all of your questions in. Use that hashtag BucksRadio on Twitter. You can also submit them on the Bucks app under the feature section, and I'll throw those phone numbers out to you one more time. Hillsboro, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 888-546-4620. We're going to take a quick break here. Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access, brought to you by Frontier Communications with head coach Dirk Koetter and Bucs insider Casey Phillips on Tampa Bay Sports Radio, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
Welcome back. Happy Friday afternoon. Hope everyone's weekend is off to a good start. Thanks for spending it here with us. We're getting into all of your questions for head coach Dirk Koetter. You can keep sending those in on Twitter. Use the hashtag BucksRadio or submit them on the Bucks app in the feature section or give us a call. Dustin said, do you feel that Raymond James offers a true home field advantage, or do we have too many away fans for there to be actually having an advantage?
Oh, no, we have a home field advantage, and our fans are fantastic. I mean, obviously, because of where we're located here in Tampa, beautiful city and the weather and everything, there's always going to be a lot of fans that have either relocated here, especially, from some of the East Coast cities, or, fans are going to want to travel here because it's a great place to be and the weather and everything. But, of course, I always beat the drum for no opposing jerseys in the lower bowl, and I will continue to always do that as long as I'm the coach. And we do have a home field advantage, and we'd always like to keep it as high, as loud when the other team has the ball as we possibly can. And obviously, we got to do our part in that too.
All right, we got our next caller lined up. Ward from Brandon. What's going on, Ward?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Looks like we need a big win going into this week. We got a division opponent coming in. We saw from last year, even once we're in a hole, if we can just put some games together, you know, we got a chance in the end. What are you preaching to the guys this week? What are some maybe matchups that you're looking forward to exploiting against the Panthers? What makes you confident that we're going to get a win this week?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can understand why I can't say on the radio what matchups we're trying to exploit. That wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. But, you know, what I'm preaching to the players is simple is, you know, you can't get back to where you want to be in 1 week. You have to go 1 week at a time, even though it sounds cliche. It starts with one win. Everything starts with one win. And we've played well against the Panthers in the past. We know they have a very dangerous football team. I mean, heck, they're 2 years away from beating the Super Bowl. Their roster is loaded with talent. They're very well coached. But our guys know they can play, and we just got to go out there and do it. And, you know, success begets success. You got to go out there and get that first one, and everything starts with that.
Josh says, hey, Coach, I'm a diehard Bucks fan from Maryland, and I'm a big fan of yours. And then his question is, do you think that our inability to stop the Bills on Sunday's last drive was play calling or players not making plays?
Well, you know, there's you can say that. As I mentioned in one of the earlier calls, you know, there's six or seven plays in every game that go a long way towards determining the outcome. And, you know, I believe that players play and coaches coach, and it's a combination of those things. Plus, you got to remember, the other team, they're getting paid too, and they have coaches too. So when you lose, we all lose. When we win, we all win. And last week, we weren't quite good enough, so it falls on all of us.
And it's interesting, very similar to that. Mac wanted to know, a fan could argue that we are only a couple plays away from being 4-2 or maybe even 5-1. How frustrating is that for you guys, and how do you help the players tune out all the outside noise talking about their record?
Well, Bill Parcells famously said years ago that you are what your record says you are. And, you know, that's the record you've earned. Again, I just go back to my previous answer is, you know, what's in the books is in the books. And we start division play this week. The best way to catch up is to get some division wins, because not only is your team moving up, but you're knocking somebody else that's ahead of you down. So it's a double-edged, it's a two-way winner. And, you know, I'm confident in our players. I'm confident in our coaches. I'm confident in our process. And we just got to go out there, play good football. We'll be fine.
Jay says, why have you not used Jameis on quarterback sneaks on third and fourth and inches?
We haven't had very many third and fourth and inches this year. I think we've maybe only had one or two all year. And I think that, you know, some quarterbacks excel at quarterback sneaks. Others, not so much. Sometimes, I mean, Tom Brady is not a running quarterback, but he's one of the best quarterback sneak guys in the league. It's just, I get asked this question every week on the show. It's not the highest priority of our offense right now. But again, we haven't had very many third and fourth and inches, so it really is kind of insignificant at this point.
We're here with head coach Dirk Cutter, and our next question comes from Doug. He says, Luke Kuechly has been so special in his ability to call out plays before they happen. Why is he so able to do that? And how does his presence affect your game plan and, more importantly, your in-game play calling, if at all?
Well, Luke Kuechly is, you know, one of, if not the, one of the top linebackers. He, you know, he's up there for Defensive Player of the Year every year, you know, as long as he's healthy. I think what sets him apart from a lot of linebackers is he just gets football. He is so smart. I mean, he's calling out a lot of your plays, and sometimes that freaks our players out that he's calling out where the ball's going. You know, what I've noticed over several years of playing against Kuechly is he might even be right sometimes when he's calling out where the play's going, but a lot of times it doesn't affect the other players on his team. You know, many times he's been he's been trying to get his players to do a certain thing. And you got to remember, every player has an assignment on each play. They're trying to execute their assignment. Kuechly has great anticipation. He's really good at reading the quarterback. He's a film junkie. I talked a lot to Robert McClain about Kuechly this week because he was teammates with him. And, you know, he told me the guy is at the office. He's like Jameis. He's at the office from when it's dark in the morning to when it's dark at night studying tape. So he knows your tendencies pretty well.
And Zach wants to know, do you think that there are too many stunts happening on the D-line that could be slowing down the pass rush?
I think that is a possibility on a couple of plays a game. But at the same time, I think you need stunts. I think you need to try to make an offensive line pass guys off and see if they can do it. You know, you could point to plays where the stunt slows down a pass rush. You can point to other plays where a stunt helps the pass rush. So yeah, every team in the NFL stunts a certain percentage of the time. So, you know, it's part of the game. You're gonna have some. It's hard to say exactly how much, but it is part of our plan and will continue to be.
James asks, why do you emphasize limiting explosive plays on defense so much, and is that risky for a team like Carolina that's built for those middle yardage gains?
Well, we emphasize a lot of things. It's just a proven fact that explosive plays next to turnovers is the number two factor in winning and losing football games in the NFL. So we stress a lot of stuff. I mean, we stress turnovers, we stress explosive plays, we stress sacks, we stress third downs, we stress red zone, we stress playing penalty free. You know, you're gonna stress the things that point towards winning football. But every play is important. I mean, we stress run fits. We stress running the football. We stress making first downs. We stress a lot of stuff. But there's 64 plays on offense, 64 plays on defense, 28 plays on special teams, and they're all important.
We got our next caller lined up. We have Rad from Tarpon Springs. Go ahead, man.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Casey. How are you guys today?
Great. How about you?
Great, thank you. Coach, I'd like to know, I'm not the X's and O's guy, obviously, but when you last couple of years you've acquired a couple of high-talented free agents to help the defense, Robert Ayers, J.J. Wilcox, this year T.J. Ward, how much emphasis, because neither of those players have been very successful as of yet, how much emphasis do you put into scheming toward what they do well to fit into your defense, or is it vice versa? I'll hang up and listen, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, it's both. It's both of those things. Of course, we have a system on offense. We have a system on defense. We have a system on special teams. But you'd be crazy if you weren't trying to incorporate what your players do best. You got to remember, on every team, you have A-level players, you have B-level players, you have C-level players. Every team has that in the NFL. There's no D-level players in the NFL. But you should be as a coaching staff, incorporating the talents of your A-level players into your scheme. And I think we try to do that.
Chad says, before the draft, everyone was debating how McCaffrey would get used in the NFL. How have you seen Carolina use him, and what challenges has that brought about for game planning for him?
Yeah, I think Mike Shula, their offensive coordinator, has really diversified the way they're using McCaffrey. They're doing all kinds of stuff. They're moving him around in formations. They're playing him as a single back. They're playing him with two backs in the backfield. They're motioning him out. They're playing him in empty. They're playing him like a wide receiver. They're playing him in the slot. He's their punt return guy. So far they've got him touches in almost every way imaginable. You know, what teams have done a good job of so far is they've limited his explosive plays. He has, going into last week, I don't think he had any explosive plays in 70-something touches. I'm not sure
I'm not sure if that held up last week or not. You know, when coming out of Stanford, you know, he was very explosive, and every time he touched it, he was a threat. But he's a very versatile player, good in all phases.
Robbie wants to know, how has it been different for you play calling on the field versus in a booth for seeing the game?
You can definitely see the game better in the booth. I've said that many times. It's much harder to see the game at field level. I mean, in fact, the fans can see some things. I mean, there's some stuff that happens on the other side of the field that you don't see until you watch the tape. So, you know, from just a play calling standpoint, being in the booth is the best. They just changed the rule a year ago where the person in the booth could talk directly to the quarterback. When I was calling plays from the booth, if you were going to go no huddle, you had to call it. You had to relay it through a coach on the sideline. So for no huddle, obviously it's better if you don't have to go through a middleman. And we do a lot of our scripting, so to speak, during the week, and all of our coaches have a piece of that, or they're all invested in that. So, you know, our stuff is narrowed down. Jameis has a part of that. Jameis is very involved in the final say on a lot of stuff. But I think it's definitely easier to call plays from the booth.
All right, we have one more segment coming up here. You still have time to get those questions in for head coach Dirk Koetter. On Twitter, use that hashtag BucksRadio. You can also submit them on the Bucks app under the feature section or call in. Don't go anywhere, because Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter, brought to you by Frontier Communications. We'll be right back. This is Buccaneers Radio.
Buccaneers Total Access with head coach Dirk Koetter now continues. Brought to you by Frontier Communications on 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the best Bucs coverage.
All right, this is it, the final segment here for Total Access with Dirk Koetter. You can still send in those questions for the next few minutes. Use that hashtag BucksRadio. You can also submit them on the Bucks app under the feature section or call in. All right, Riley, I love this. Riley says, did you need to use the indoor field at practice this week for the blizzard-type weather we've had here?
Oh, you know what's crazy is we did actually have to go indoors because once the wind gets above 25 miles an hour, they won't let our filmers go up on the lifts to shoot practice outside. And on Wednesday, the wind hit 28 miles an hour, so about maybe a third of the way through practice, we had to move it inside.
Wow, I didn't know that. All right, Reggie's question is, if you know the defense might be shorthanded ahead of time because of injury, does that change anything about how you might call the game offensively?
Yeah, of course. Of course it does. And we just got to remember any game, the only thing that matters at the end is having one more point than the opponent. But, to begin the game, it could definitely make a difference.
Jerome says, can you explain a little bit about how you plan practices?
Yeah, our practices, once the season starts, you have what's like a basic Wednesday practice, a basic Thursday practice, a basic Friday practice. So, you know, you're going to go out, you're going to get the players warmed up, go through a stretching routine, go through a few minutes of individual drills where they're working on technique. We always try to work on some no huddle early in practice to get the guys mentally tuned in. You're going to work on your special teams for 15 or 20 minutes. You're going to work on your inside run, your perimeter run. You're going to have some 7-on-7 passing drills. At the time when the guys are doing that, the linemen are working on some 1-on-1 and some 2-on-2 pass blocking. And then you're going to have some 11-on-11 team drills against the look team that's simulating the opponent that week. On Wednesdays, we're working on first down, second down, and third and mediums. On Thursdays, we're working on third and 6-9, third and 10 plus, red zone, goal line, and short yardage. And then on Friday, you're working on 2-minute, 4-minute, and reviewing everything. And then Saturday's a little brief walkthrough of your opener script and some game-ending plays.
All right, Bobby said, I was really excited to see Murray hit the 50-yard field goal last game. How much confidence do you have in him, and how does that change your options on a drive when you do feel confident in the kicker to hit something like that?
Yeah, I'm confident in every player on our team. If they're on our team, I have confidence in them. And, you know, an NFL kicker, once you get to the 32-yard line plus an 8-yard hold for a 50-yard field goal, we expect them to make it. And Patrick did a nice job when he got his opportunity last week.
All right, and Lewis wants to know, how many hours do you think you put in during the week?
A lot.
A lot hours. Do you have any sort of idea of what it would be, or is it so many that you lose count?
Yeah, I know how many it is, but I don't necessarily want to say on the radio, but I put in a lot of hours.
A lot of hours. Maybe your wife would be an even better one to ask.
So does all of our coaches put in a lot of hours. Our trainers put in a lot of hours. Our players put in a lot of hours. I mean, that's I'm sure a lot of our listeners out there put in a lot of hours at their job.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, Carly wants to know, did going against Tyrod Taylor help prepare for Cam Newton this week?
It should. It really should, because, you know, Tyrod Taylor is, you know, mobile like Cam. Now, Cam's a more established player. Heck, he's been the MVP of the league. But it should. You know, it definitely should. And we saw the... You know, we suffered the consequences when we didn't keep him in the pocket. You know, he got out. We had a spy on him one time. We missed the tackle. He broke off a big run. We had him sewn up one time, two times. And he one time he got out, made a big run. Another time he got out on a 3rd and 15 and threw it to the tight end because we didn't stay on our guys. So, yeah, in that respect, hopefully we learn from that. And we do better on those type of plays this week.
Richard wants to know, what makes Mike Evans so special?
Well, he's an elite athlete, number one. I mean, he's got unbelievable size. He's got unbelievable speed. He's got big-time power. He's got a huge catching radius. He's very smart. He's a student of the game. He's tough. He's got all the qualities you look for.
All right, and we got a couple Halloween-themed questions, which I feel like is a perfect way to end it here, as it's coming up this next week, which I don't even know if you realize holidays are coming during the season because it gets so crazy here. But Don wanted to know, if you had to dress up as a player on your team for Halloween, who would it be and what would that mean you dressed as?
Oh, these are the kind of questions I'm not prepared for. I thought I was going to be able to get away with saying I dressed up like a pirate, but dressed up like a player. Shoot, I don't know. I'll have to get back to you on that one too.
All right, we'll have to ask after maybe you see them on Halloween and think about that. We also had another one from Lacey who asked, "What did you dress up as when you were a kid? Some of your favorite costumes?"
I think I was probably in the Spider-Man, Superman era.
That's pretty great. At least
maybe,
it's
maybe a Batman. Maybe a Batman.
Okay, superhero. I was going to say if you dressed as a football player or a coach, I was going to be a little disappointed. So I'm glad to hear it was at least a little bit more creative than that.
That was a while ago.
A while ago. I love it. All right. Well, Coach, good luck this weekend. Excited to be back at Raymond James Stadium for a home game. We hope to see all of you out there doing like what Coach said. Fill that lower bowl with all those Bucks jerseys. Have a very fun and safe Halloween weekend. Buccaneers Total Access with Head Coach Dirk Cutter. Brought to you by Frontier Communications. This is Buccaneers Radio.